Our Bible passage this afternoon is taken from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 10 to 28. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 10 to 28. We have this famous chapter in the Bible where Paul speaks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Where we read these words. For by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are, of all men, the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And our Lord's Day is Lord's Day 17. Lord's Day 17, page 879 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. Catechism asks the following question. How does Christ's resurrection benefit us? First, by his resurrection, he has overcome death, so he might make us share in the righteousness obtained for us by his death. Second, by his power, we too are already raised to a new life. Third, Christ's resurrection is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. Thus far with the Catechism. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask ourselves, why are we here? Why do we come together as a congregation? And Paul in this passage speaks very, very clearly of why we are here. And that is because we have heard the gospel. If we read verse 1 of chapter 15, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand." The gospel, the good news, that Jesus Christ came to this world to take upon himself our sins so that we might have life, that we might have eternal life. We think of the call that Jesus constantly came out with. Follow me. Believe in me. Repent of your sins. Come to me. And those who hear my voice, those who follow me, those who have been given to me by the Father, will have eternal life. The constant call of the gospel, that good news, is that death is not all that there is, but that God has very clearly said to us that there is life after death. Since that's so clearly the teaching of Scripture, the teaching of Jesus, we have to ask ourselves, what's Paul dealing with in this chapter? Why does he bring up this whole matter? We could say for various reasons. First of all, he speaks about those who were actually preaching that there was no resurrection of the dead, that this life that we live on this world, we're born, we live this life, and we die, and that's all that there is. There is no life after death. And we know, when we look at those around us, especially those that don't go to church, those that don't believe in anything, that's a common teaching. This life in this world is all that there is. We live just like the animals. We're born, we live for a while, and we die. And after we die, nothing. It's over. The picture's done. The movie's over. Life is done. And there's nothing more. But yet here Paul is speaking about those who are in the church preaching this. Why would they preach that message? When we read in the passage before us, Paul says a number of interesting things. First of all, in verse 32, he says, if we preach actually this, that there is no resurrection of the dead, he says, if in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. We think again of verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. We have good news. We have good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, that he was buried, and that he arose. And because he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. And when he arose from the dead, we also arose. And even when he ascended and sat at the right hand of God, we in him also were seated at the right hand of God. We participate. We have union with his glory. And yet we live in this life and we have our mortal bodies. And we are born, and we realize that one day we will die and that our bodies will be placed in the tomb. What does it mean then that we have been risen with Jesus Christ? The Catechism makes it very clear. First of all, it says the first benefit, by his resurrection he has overcome death so he might make us share in the righteousness he obtained for us by his death. He was buried, or he died, and our old man died with him. When he was buried, our old man was buried with him. When he arose, a glorious body, at the same time, we arose spiritually with him. For we, before we knew Jesus Christ, we were dead in our sin and our trespasses. But when Jesus Christ, through his holy, when Christ sent his Spirit to us, we were made alive. We were regenerated to eternal life that we might live and have life. When Jesus Christ arose, he conquered death. He conquered that we were dead in our sin and our trespasses, and through his resurrection, we were granted new life. We are declared righteous. We are declared justified. We have our justification through Jesus Christ, our righteousness that he obtained for us by his death and by his resurrection. He died on the cross of Calvary so all of our sins would be paid for completely. And his resurrection is a proof that there is life in Jesus Christ. If we go to the passage before us, in 1 Corinthians, verse 15, verse 10, chapter 15, verse 10, Paul says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, and yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or whether they, so we preach, and so you believed." What is Paul saying? We live by the grace of God. God has granted us faith, belief, true belief in Jesus Christ, true belief that Jesus Christ came to this world, that he was born under Virgin Mary, that he lived among us, that he was placed on the cross of Calvary, a belief that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, that Jesus Christ was buried, that he arose from the dead. That's our faith. That's integral to our faith. If we say that we do not have the resurrection of the dead, then why believe? And if he did not arise from the dead, what proof do we have of anything that Jesus Christ did? Did he truly die on the cross of Calvary? Was he truly buried? And why? What for? So Paul says very clearly, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." And why would we believe that when the clear teaching of Scripture is that Jesus Christ indeed arose? And Paul said very clearly, because of sin. Evil company corrupts good habits. The world's message is constant. Why believe in Jesus Christ? Why follow Jesus Christ? Why not eat? Why not drink? Why not have a good time? Why not live it up? What's keeping you back? Why live a Christian life? Why deny yourself? What's the Christian life for? And we could argue, well, living according to the commandments is good. It's good for ourselves. It's good for society. There are those who say Jesus Christ is just a good teacher. His teachings are good moral precepts. They're good for us. They're good for others. Society just lives better if it follows the teachings of Jesus Christ. But it's not just a good living, Paul says. But why? But why even live a good moral life if in the end we die? We're born and we die. Societies come and societies die. What's the good of a good moral life if there's nothing more than this life that we have in this world? So why the teaching that there's no life after death? Because it justifies sin. It allows us to sin. If there's nothing more than this life, let's eat and drink and be merry, for there's nothing more. After this life, it's gone. So grab it while you can. But Paul says, "But by the grace of God," that's not what I believe, "by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me, this life that I have received, this gospel that I have received is good news. It's not in vain. And therefore I labor, yet not I, but by the grace of God, which was with me." In verse 12, Paul enters more deeply into the argument where he says, "Now if Christ is preached that he had been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. If I come up here, up front here, and just teach you 10 principles of good living, how to live a good moral life, how to have good habits, how to prosper in this world, how to get ahead, how to be a decent person. Paul says, we can teach all that, and there are many who teach that. But what for? What's the good of it? If in the end, we die. Why believe in Jesus Christ if he is unable to give us eternal life? And more, Paul says, not only is it empty preaching, not only is our faith empty, Paul says in verse 15, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. What's Paul doing in this verse? Paul's saying Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, became God. It was God becoming man, the eternal God becoming holy man, and he lived in us. And if men or mankind, humankind, is not able to rise from the dead, then neither did Christ rise from the dead. And if Christ did not rise from the dead, and if we preach that Christ rise from the dead, what are we preaching? Our message is not true. There's no truth in it. Not only are we preaching an empty faith that has no purpose, a vain faith, but what we're preaching is not even true. It's not true preaching based upon the truth of what Scripture says to us. What's Paul saying? God has revealed to us his word. His word is Holy Scripture, divine Scripture. Paul speaks about being caught up to the third heavens and hearing words that were indescribable. These words that he received have been inspired by God. And the words we have in Scripture, we believe are inspired words of Scripture. This is God's truth, God speaking to us. And Paul says, what we have received, we give unto you. What we have seen, what we have heard, so that you may believe. Believe it. It's God's word to you. God speaking to you that you may hear him speak, and that you may believe our word. Believe the word. And especially when you think of today, churches that question the authority of Scripture. Churches that say, well, this part may be inspired, but this part is not inspired. Churches that say the Bible is like a seed. Inside there's truth, but the husk you can throw away. Some of it's true and some of it's not true. What's true is what the Spirit convinces you is true, but not all of it's true. Some of it's myths, some of it's legends, interesting stories. But only what's true is what inspires you to live closer to God. In other words, the Word of God in and of itself is not trustworthy. But Paul says, believe it. We have received it. It's the received Word of God. Believe it. Believe all of it. Jesus Christ died, was crucified, died, and he did rise again from the dead. And if he did not rise, as Paul says in verse 17, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you still live in your sins. There's no hope for us at all. We see that in the Catechism in number 2, where it says, or second, the second part, where it says, second, by his power, we too are already raised to a new life. If Christ did not rise, we would not be risen to a new life. When? Again, as mentioned earlier, when the Holy Spirit came into us and made us new creatures. Before, we are dead in our sin and trespasses, under the dominion of Satan, completely controlled by the evil one, living according to our own selfish desires, disobedient, unworthy to be called children of God, depraved, living in all kinds of sin and filth, full of envy and rage, hating each other, full of lust, doing all that which is contrary to the will of God, unable and unwilling to do the will of God. And then God sent His Holy Spirit to us. In the act of sending His Holy Spirit to us, He, through His power, took us from death and brought us to life, that we may indeed live and desire and do the will of our Heavenly Father. We indeed have new life in Him. Paul then goes on in verse 18 of chapter 15, where he says, "Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." When we see the empty grave, the stone taken away, we know that Christ came from that grave. We say, as Christ comes from that grave, we too, spiritually, came out of that grave. We too received life. We are born. We live, but now we live in Christ. And one day, we shall die. Our bodies will be placed in a tomb. This year, I've had a number of times I've been in the cemetery. We've walked around, we've looked at different tombstones. It says, this person lived, and this person died. And sometimes they'll put something about that person. On one tombstone, a young man with a basketball. Another tombstone, a young man with a guitar. Sometimes there's little sayings. And if they're Christians, they'll put a Bible verse. What are they doing? They're saying, well, this person lived, this person was born, he lived for a while, and then he died. We as Christians, we put a Bible passage, some memory that we were born, we lived, but then we also were born again in Jesus Christ. And we received life. And often the Bible verse people will put on their tombstone is a memory that not only has this person died and his body been placed in the grave, but that one day his physical body will be raised up and will be rejoined with his soul so he may live eternally with Jesus Christ. In other words, we had the hope not only of the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven, but that one day Jesus Christ will return and our bodies will be resurrected. Those in Christ resurrected to life eternal, and those without Christ to eternal perdition. That is our hope, and that is our faith, as has been revealed in Scripture. The Lord's Day 17, then in the third part, says, "Christ's resurrection is a sure pledge to us of our blessed resurrection, that we indeed will be resurrected unto eternal life." As verse 23 in 1 Corinthians 15 says, "But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards those who are in Christ at his coming." And then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. All of us realize that one day we too will die. And sometimes we reflect on that, it may cause us fear. And this world in many ways tries to forget about that death. This whole matter of eating and drinking and living a hedonistic life is often a way of forgetting that we are mortal, that we're not going to live forever, that this life will come to an end. And so people try to find different ways of forgetting about death to enjoy life to its maximum. But yet life cannot satisfy. You can eat, you can drink, you can be merry, but in the end, we all have to die. We all have to confront our time, our mortality, that we will not live forever. So what do we as Christians do? In order to truly live, we must realize, we must come to terms with our death, and we must have faith. Jesus Christ died that we might live. And he was resurrected, and in his resurrection, we have the hope of resurrection, that we too will be resurrected with him, and that Christ will reign over all things, and that we will live with him eternally, in true blessedness forevermore. This is our hope. This is why we live. This is our faith. This grants us life that we can wake up in the morning and say, this day I am alive because of Jesus Christ. I live in Jesus. He is my Lord and my Savior. The message that we have heard, the message that we have seen in Scripture, is the message that we have life in Jesus, that we're not dead in our sin and our trespasses, but that we live and that we will live eternally. And all that we do for Christ is of eternal value, that when we look at Scripture and when Christ teaches us how to live in Christ, how we can live according to the commandments of God. When the Holy Spirit enters into us, he gives us the power to do the holy will of God, to speak of God, to live out all that God commands us to. What for? Because this life isn't all that there is, but there's so much more. But then we must remind ourselves, because the devil comes and he tempts us constantly and he says, is it true? Is it true that after you die, that there's something more? Is it true that there is eternal life? Is it true that you have a soul that will live forever? Is it true that you have the Holy Spirit? We must come back to our faith in Jesus Christ and say, yes, it's true. We have been engrafted in Christ. And because we live in him, we have life. But then we also have to ask ourselves, are we truly in Jesus? Are we living in Jesus? Are we living in the power of his Holy Spirit? Have we been truly grafted in him? When you think of a graft, being grafted in, we know that when someone grafts a small branch into a trunk, if it's this far away, it's not close enough. It can be almost touching, but it's not engrafted in Christ, it still doesn't have life. In order to have life, in order to live, it must be engrafted into Christ, receiving life from him that we can truly live. But the devil comes and tempts us with our sins, with a life in sin, and he says, why live in Christ? The message of Scripture is not true. And he causes us to question Scripture, and he tempts us, and our old man manifests itself, and desires come into our hearts, lusts grow, and we say, maybe he's right. Maybe it's true. Maybe there is nothing more than this life. And if it's not true, why am I even trying? Why not just enjoy life to the maximum? What Paul is saying is, it's true. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the world. Don't believe sin. It's death. Not only death, spiritual death, it's eternal death. The only hope we have, the only faith we have, is in the words of divine scripture, that everything that we have in the Bible is true. And when Christ comes to us through his gospel, through the good news, he's telling us, believe it. One day we will rise from the dead. And when we die, our souls will be taken by our Lord to heaven. Believe it. Why? Because God has told us that's the way it is in his holy word. So may we believe and take heart in the midst of this world that lies and lies and lies, denying that there is a God. May we believe in God, listen to his word, and take heart that we indeed have received eternal life. Amen.